Welcome to the Up to the Challenge podcast.
Hey, hey, what's up? It's Zisu back again, and this is E-Society Presents Up to the Challenge. On this pod, we challenge each other to watch something, movie, TV show, documentary, or whatever, as long as it's streaming or available. Then we'll discuss what we thought and present the next challenge. This is episode 14. Today we'll be talking about Coco and 2009's Last House on the Left. But before I go any further, he's up to the challenge. It's the Nez.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Back again. We're going to be a little late with the regular episode this weekend. Been on baby duty, and I just wasn't feeling it the past couple days. Just sick. And sorry. So just trying to get over all that. And yeah, I think that's about it. So let's roll into it. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I think I'll start. That's the way we can start with The Last House on the Left and then cool down with Coco.
All right.
Sounds good. All right. 2009, Last House on the Left. This is a remake of a 1972 horror thriller. That one was directed by Wes Craven. This 2009 remake was directed by Dennis Illadis. This stars Garrett Dillahunt. He was on Raising Hope. He's on the current season of Fear of the Walking Dead. Monica Potter, she's known for Saw, Along Came a Spider, Patch Adams, Tony Goldwyn, Michael Bowen, who, before I forget, I wanted to mention, he's only in the opening scene of the film. And I was like, I know this guy. This guy is so familiar. And he was Uncle Jack on Breaking Bad, part of that crew of neo-Nazis that got involved with that show. So he's also known for Walking Tall and Jackie Brown and Kill Bill. But he really stood out to me, obviously, from Breaking Bad. Tony Goldwyn is also in this. He's been in things like Ghost, The Mechanic, The Last Samurai, The Belko Experiment. Aaron Paul, that's obviously a big standout, talking of Breaking Bad. He's in this. He actually, considering this was 2009, he had just started Breaking Bad. It was like two seasons in to Breaking Bad when this film came out, so that's interesting. Also to note, it's interesting because for those that don't know their Breaking Bad trivia history, Jesse was originally not supposed to make it past the first season, but then they had that writer's strike and they had more time to think about it, and the Tuco character was actually supposed to be a big bad going forward. So when they came back from writer's strike, actually they reversed it and Tuco went away and the Aaron Paul character became just as important as Walter White. But anyways, that's Breaking Bad for you. So anyways, yeah, good cast. I had heard about this. I think I even like flipped past it on the TV once or twice. And actually was kind of intrigued, so I enjoyed being challenged in this, especially coming off of Raw, which was a really tough watch for me. This one is more scary in a, man, that would be awful if you were in that situation or your family. For me, especially with my daughter, Jade, going off to college, I was like, interesting timing with this one. Yes. I've been worried about her and hoping she's making the right choices and staying safe. And it just, you get to see in this movie, like, you know, sometimes you can just find yourself in a bad situation. So before I go any further, let me give you the IMDb rundown of how this movie is described. After kidnapping and brutally assaulting two young women, a gang unknowingly finds refuge at a vacation home belonging to the parents of one of the victims, a mother and a father who devise an increasingly gruesome series of revenge tactics. Wow. Yeah, that pretty much tells you everything you need to know about the film right there. So this was streaming on HBO, so you can check it out there before we go any further. But I guess the first question I have for you, Nez, before we get more into it, is did you see this when it was in the theater, and had you seen the original?
Yeah, I seen the original way back, 80s, probably in the VHS days. And I did see this one in the theater. I wasn't too much of a fan of the original. I know that sounds like blasphemous right. to some of you diehard horror fans, but
right.
It was all right. Last out when that came out, what, early 70s when that one came out?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh my God, it's this, it's this, it's that. It was hyped. It was overhyped to me. So when I finally saw it on VHS, I was kind of like, oh, I was all ready, sit down, ready to watch it. And just reading stuff about it in Fangoria. And I mean, there was no internet and anything. I'd never even seen a trailer for it or nothing. So I threw it in with some buddies of mine, and we were just like bored. Like, okay, something happened.
Right.
And it was just like, all right. I mean, it wasn't what everyone was saying. And I was just, okay. But, yeah, that's that one. And then when this one came out, I want to say WonderCon or one of those cons we were at, they were hyping it up. And I was like, okay. I mean, I wasn't a fan of the first ones or the original ones. So I went and seen this one, and I left the theater like, eh, okay. Once it hit HBO and all that, a buddy of mine actually gave it to me because he bought it and he didn't like it. He goes, here, man. He gave me the Blu-ray. So I watched it a few more times, and it took a while. I like it now, but it just took a few tries to really enjoy it.
Right.
The big scene that's in the film that was in the original one that had everyone talking, it just went on a little too long. So,
right.
Everyone, you guys, if you have guys haven't seen this, I'll prepare you for it. There's a rape scene in this, and it goes on and on and on. Not so much as what was that one when she got that one when the lady got raped in the tunnel that I had you watch.
Oh yeah,
Irreversible.
Yeah,
that one.
That one is probably the roughest of all. That's like it's almost like it's way too real, that one.
Yeah, so I mean, I liked all the cast. I didn't even know who Jesse was. I think the only one I knew in this movie other than Michael Bowen was what's his name? Tony Goldwyn. He was the bad guy in Ghost. I knew him in that,
right.
As well as Josh Cox. I known him. He was in a ton of. This was all before. Before he was Hope's grandpa. He was. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the wrong dude. Am I? And I just clicked on. No, that's not him. That's Garrett. Dillahunt, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Him. I had seen
the
him.
The dude from Raising Hope. And
yeah,
Fear now.
I had seen him in a ton of other things before this. So, I mean, I knew who they were. I didn't know anyone else. And Ricky Lindholm, I knew her. I can't remember. She's in all kinds of comedy shows now. She was also in a movie with Clint Eastwood. Boxing one, $1 Million Baby. I didn't like her in that, so I think I didn't like her in this either. I vice versa, I can't remember which one came out first, but I actually met her one year at Comic-Con. She was really cool, so that kind of changed my mind on her. But in this movie, oh my God, she just got on my nerves. Everyone did it, man. Even Jesse was the little punk of the group. He kind of acted like he didn't want to do it. No. There was someone else, wasn't
there? No, it was a different dude.
There was a younger guy. Yeah. The Jesse was just being himself, just a little more hardcore. But I mean, I do enjoy this movie now. The first time I saw it in the theater, I kind of like, whatever. I remember people like, no one left the theater, but they were all like, okay, during the rape scene, cause it kept going on and on. I remember a lot of that. And then once it gets into, the revenge, part of it, I mean, I thought all the effects were good. There might have been a little bit of CGI, but majority of it was practical effects. So I thought that was cool. They went a little more with the dramatics in this one than from the original film. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you watch them both of them back to back, I know there's a ton of people. Maybe there's some of you listening to this right now that are huge fans of the original. It was all right. And that was this one too, the first time I saw it. Right now I like it. I'm like, I own it, and I'm just, I go back to it from time to time whenever I feel the need to just watch it or whatever. But, I, like I said, I didn't really enjoy it the first time I saw it. I thought it was kind of boring, but it took me a few watches, man. But overall, man, I thought the cast was good. I liked the way they shot it. The dread was there of what was going on, the situation. And that it always leads up to the actors. I mean, they really portrayed each character really good. And I thought that if they pulled you into it, I mean, it wasn't like, you didn't care. I mean, you were like actually worried about the people that were about to get bad things done to them. It was just tough for me for Tony Goldwyn's character. He was the dad. He had played John. He'll always be the bad guy in Ghost, and that's all I see him as. So it was kind of hard for me to root for him. So I kind of like, okay, whatever. I mean, if you lived or died, I would have been okay with either way. But Monica Potter, the mom, I've liked her. I've seen her in a ton of things. Some of you might have remembered her. She was I don't want to say the ugly girl, but in Shallow Hal, she was one of the, I think she was actually the first gal that that Hal met, when she looked, she had buck teeth and crazy hair. But when he saw her, she was this beautiful lady. But that's what I first seen her in. And then I'd seen her in a ton of other things. I really liked her. I felt her dread of the whole situation. The one girl that got raped, I remember she was in Superbad. She was what's his name's girlfriend, the Michael Cera. You remember who I'm talking about?
No.
the girl that he liked, Becca. That was her, because Emma Stone was the other.
Okay.
But yeah, that's. Right. That's the only thing I've seen her in other than this. Well, the first thing I saw her in was Superbad. And, man, that scene was pretty brutal. But now, overall, I did enjoy it. But what did you think of the whole situation and what was going on and just the dread of something like this happening? I think with this type of films, it's not just mass murders. Killers running around in masks. It was more real. What did you like about it?
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what I liked about it. I kind of walk that line, as I've talked about on E-Society and on Up to the Challenge before, of that a lot of times, like, blood can make me queasy, but in the right situation, I can deal with it more. Like when you talk about Walking Dead, I can kind of view it as more like fantasy and stuff like that. I don't know. For some reason, when it comes to food or hospitals, I get real queasy about that kind of stuff. So I don't know. But for this one, just as far as the actual dread, like I mentioned earlier, interesting time for this challenge to pop up with Jade going off to college, and worried about her, you know, and not necessarily her, but just, you know, the wrong kind of wrong people, wrong situation. And when you see that in this film, just like, especially, you know, with the girl just showing up to that hotel room, you know, like, yeah, you're already putting yourself in a bad situation there. But I mean, that's the worst possible thing that could happen, the way the situation they found themselves in. So, yeah, you know, I definitely felt the dread and stuff like that. And then even shock with, you know, some of the stuff that ended up going down from there. But yeah, I totally do remember like flipping through and catching this at some point on some channel, because I remember seeing the scene of the one girl on the run and like coming out to that construction site and then getting got right there. I remember that 100% seeing that. So I had seen that before. So, but yeah, overall, yeah, I mean, I'd say it's not like the easiest watch. It's hard to recommend that way, but overall for this type of film, I actually do recommend it. And it was interesting to dig into the user reviews that I always like to do after these for the challenges. You kind of get the vibe of the people, even though you can never trust these IMDb reviews, especially these days. But it's interesting to see people did seem to go back and forth on it. There's like Avoid, For the Love of God, No. Other people, though, in this writer's opinion, the best horror remake by far.
I don't know about that.
Good remake that kept its cruel nature. Better than the original, but far from perfect. Doesn't disappoint. A great shared catharsis with an audience. Do you agree with that? Did the was the audience into it, if you remember, in the theater?
I think they were into it, but when these movies come out, well, it's new to everyone else, and a lot of people didn't know. In my crowd, didn't know that it was a remake.
Right.
So, they were all into it, man. They were cringing and oh my god, when something bad happened on the screen. I mean, everybody was into it. I think just how I really knew that they were into it is when I know it was the couple next to me. During the rape scene, the girl was like, "Is it over?" Because she just couldn't.
A little rough. Yeah.
She couldn't watch.
No doubt.
What was going on? But yeah, I mean, it was a pretty good crowd. I mean, it wasn't. No one walked out of the theater like, "Oh my god, that movie was horrible" or anything. I mean, because I usually listen.
Right.
I listen to everyone as I'm leaving the theater, and. I guess my crowd liked it. I know some of my friends that actually went out and seen it, that were fans of the original. I mean, they didn't like it. They were saying, well, they were trying to, I think, gross you out more than they did with the original. I mean, there was a scene. I can't remember if it was. I haven't seen this remake in a while. I can't remember that, but I remember in the original one. There was an incident that happened down by the lake, and did that happen in this one when she bit someone's thing?
Yeah. Oh, maybe not.
Maybe that's in the unrated version. But
yeah,
in the original one, she bit it off, and I can't
remember. Oh, jeez.
I can't remember if it was in this one, but.
I don't think so, if I'm remembering right.
I don't remember, but oh yeah, but yeah. Other than that, man. I mean, I'd say the majority of the crowd liked it. My friends that, like I said, that liked the original didn't like this one. I thought for me, I liked it more than the original one. I mean, I haven't seen the original one in a long time. I saw it way back in the day, and then I think I rewatched it again. It was on one of these channels one night. It was all cut up, but I still watched it. Yeah, I would say if you guys don't want to watch, I think the original one isn't for everyone, because it's just kind of slow and it's not all that. I think this is the more updated version one. People would probably like a little bit more, but yeah, I recommend it. I say check it out.
Right. Yeah. And then just real quick, I want to mention some of the things I'm seeing on the Metascore, which really run the range from positive, hinges on humiliation and vengeance, which makes it like most other modern horror titles. Wheels Fall Off toward the end, but until that point, excellent job. I don't know about that. I did not really have a problem with the end. Look at the performances. They're surprisingly good, especially Monica Potter and Tony Goldwyn. This one is funny. I wanted to get your reaction to this. Like the current hit Taken, Last House 2009 packs vicarious jolt that might feel cathartic to certain moviegoers. On first reading of that, I was like, what, Taken? And then I thought more about it, and I actually want to mention this when we do the rewatchables pod. I listened to rewatchables on Taken, and actually remembering Taken, I was like, oh yeah, you know, there was like a little bit of, it was scary, the girl getting taken in the hotel room and everything like that. And I mean, those movies are very different, but actually that element, you know, actually does come across to compare the two.
Never seen any of those.
You've never seen the original Taken?
I've never seen any of them. Isn't there three of them?
Yeah.
What can they wrap up in the first two that they had to have a third one?
I think because they kept changing the victim.
Oh. Whatever. That's the one with Qui-Gon, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I haven't seen it. Oh, wait. I saw the end of the first one. It was on TV in the break room.
Okay.
Wow. I know what happens at the end. I just didn't see what happened before it.
All right. Yeah, they've even got a TV series now for that. So interesting.
There is.
Yeah, it's a NBC show.
What's it? Someone gets taken in the beginning, and they stretch it out for 10 episodes.
I think it's basically that same idea. It's almost like a Taken of the week, I think.
Someone gets taken each week and then they solve it at the end of the show?
I think so. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen it. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Perfect. All right. but yeah. And just to wrap it up, not to leave it on a negative note, is funny. The two bad reviews for it at this thing, Entertainment Weekly gave it a 0. This remake is merely vile and dull, and Rolling Stone, audiences with a brain cell left have only one choice. Look for the first exit on the right. I wouldn't be that harsh to it. I say, if you know what we've talked about, if you have any curiosity about it, check it out. It's up on HBO right now, HBO Now, HBO Go. Yeah, it's worth a watch. If anything, just for the actors in it and the performances, I did think that was key to this film, was the performances. So, yeah, I was able to appreciate that, you know. Unlike the previously mentioned film, and was one of our previous challenges, the Irreversible, that, like, really, really drug out. And while there is a scene in here, it's not as brutal as that. There are some brutal things in this movie, but for most of them, if I ever felt any like, ooh, like I could just like even like glance away for a second, okay, I'm good, like, and then, you know, get back to it.
Well,
so
what did you think about it? Would never work, but what did you think about the final kill?
Yeah, I mean, wow, that was like, that felt like a interesting tack on, like almost like, it almost felt like it could have been an after credit scene. And with that, I don't know what I was expecting, but when it fully went down, I was like, oh, geez, like, oh man, like, yeah, I get it. Like, I'm all for that. Like, get your revenge, but whew.
I don't think it would have worked. First of all, spoiler alert: if you guys don't want to know what happened at the end, skip forward a minute. But when he stuck his head in the microwave, the door has to be shut in order for it to.
I'm sure you could find a way to.
But they didn't have time to. Oh, let me figure out how to.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that was just me. But I did like it. I liked how he just kind of squirmed and screamed, and that was like, why didn't you just pull yourself out of there? But I don't know. Wasn't he paralyzed? I don't remember.
Yeah. He did a bunch of doctor stuff too.
Yeah, that's right.
Like
okay.
He made it so he was like, he couldn't move.
And then his head blew up.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, I don't know. Like, even like seeing that, I don't know why I didn't see that coming. Like, I don't know. Up until the moment, I was just like, okay, yeah, let's like mess with him, I guess. And then I was like, oh, yeah, yikes. Okay, yeah. And I understand, like, not everybody sticks around for the end of the movies. You can't stick something like that you want people to see in an after credit scene. So. But it did feel like that to me.
All right. Yeah, Last House on the Left is streaming on HBO. It's the R version. There's an unrated version. That's the version I have. I couldn't tell you what more was in it. I mean, I haven't seen it. I think I've seen the unrated version more than the R version. I've only seen the R version once, and that was the one that was in the theater. So I couldn't tell you what's longer. So, but anyway, Last House on the Left, streaming on HBO. Check it out. On to my challenge.
Yes.
I had seen this, like, well, half of it, and then I went back and watched it again. I actually sat down with the family, and we watched 2017's Disney Pixar film, Coco. An aspiring musician, Miguel, confronted with his family's ancestral ban on music, enters the land of the dead to find his great-great-grandfather, a legendary singer. First of all, the animation was amazing. I really loved the music in it. All the songs in it I thought were awesome. I really enjoyed the voice actors. I thought they really brought it on with each character. It made you feel. But I think the most amazing thing, I'm pretty sure I know how they did it, was when Miguel was playing the guitar. His fingers were right on it with the notes,
nice,
with the fret. So I believe they probably had somebody in one of those green, maybe a kid, I don't know, maybe a little lady or somebody, but they had somebody in a green suit moving their fingers along, because that would have been too hard to, I think, I don't know, I could be wrong. Maybe someone that does this type of stuff or someone that works for Pixar is listening to this. Is saying I'm wrong, but I thought that was amazing. They really zoomed in on his hands when he was plucking the guitar strings, and when his fingers were moving all over the frets and everything. I thought that was awesome. I really enjoyed Benjamin Bratt's character. He was Ernesto de la Cruz. He was cool. And Hector, I think Hector was my favorite. I really liked what he did in it.
He was my favorite by far.
I wish Edward James Olmos was in it a little bit longer. He was only in it for a little bit. But overall, it was all right. I mean, I was kind of falling asleep toward the end. I was like,
oh, no.
I was like, come on, let's wrap this up.
Maybe it didn't hit with you. Maybe it didn't, because there's definitely one scene toward the end I want to discuss, but it sounds like it might not have hit with you.
I was just like, okay, come on. I mean, you know who Coco, I mean, when you look at, if you have no idea who this is, Coco isn't the little boy. So, I mean, that's what I thought it was before I seen any of it. I thought it was a little kid, but it's not.
Right. It's not. Yeah.
But I liked what they were doing. And from what I understand, I don't know, I could be wrong, that this is a little short folktale, but I don't know. Maybe I heard it wrong, but I liked everything that was going on. I loved what they were dealing with their celebration, the Day of the Dead celebration. I thought all that was cool. And I love all the makeup and everything when people paint up their faces with the skulls and remembering their loved ones that they had lost. I thought the part that really got me was Mama, Grandma, or Great Grandma Coco, her story on why this was all taking place and what was going on and how sad that was. And it was just sad kind of to see her. She was she's really old, and she was just kind of really not all there. I mean, it was funny when she would say things, but it was like, I mean, you sit there and really think about it. I mean, she was just getting towards the end of her life and just kind of really not knowing what was going on. I thought that was sad. I mean, Pixar, man, that's what they do with all these films. They get you at the heart.
Yes.
Like really, no doubt. Really quick. Like,
yeah.
right in the beginning. But yeah, man, overall, I wouldn't say this wouldn't make any of my top 10 lists of Pixar films, but it was, I mean, overall, I mean, like I said, it was all right. I mean, I'd probably watch it again. Maybe I'll get something else out of it, but
yeah, no doubt.
As far as the animation and everything and story and the music and everything, I thought it was amazing.
Yeah. I was a huge fan of this film. And it was one of those, I think my hopes and expectations were a lot bigger for Moana going into that with everything that I was bringing into that film. But I was a lot more like wondering on this film. Like I was like, am I going to love this as much? I wasn't sure. And it was one of those things too, with all the pop collecting, I was waiting until I seen the film. And as soon as I saw the film, I was like, oh man, I need to get these pops right away. I'm still missing the Ernesto de la Cruz, but I have the Miguel and the Hector. And that Hector is probably, it made my top favorite pops of last year. And it's definitely still one of my favorite pops. I love, you know, you can see through parts of the skeleton and the little like holes in the hat and everything like that. And like you were saying, there's everything about the animation style is just so great on the way everything looks. So,
yeah, I mean, these guys that these Pixar artists, man, they really put the detail in everything that they do is amazing.
Right. Yeah. I have the Blu-ray and the bonus feature for that. I would recommend if you're able to see, if you know, you can come across them out there, just like they did with Moana, is really cool. They're getting really good at like actually like getting into these cultures and actually like learning from them and then hiring from within. Interestingly enough, the actor that plays Miguel, the main character, he actually came on just as like a stand-in, and they had this cool feature where they showed him like, they're like, yeah, we want to go with him. Like he's good enough for the film. Like he was just standing in, like reading lines to the other actors, but they ended up liking him so much they went with him. And that was really cool. But, like you mentioned, Nez, the stuff with Coco, when it like came down to like what was really going on, and especially there's a scene with the song and like what the song means, and then he's like kneeling in front of her, if you know that scene. I was like, wow, this really gets you emotionally. Like, and that's, I guess like, maybe I should expect it, but I don't always expect it with these movies. So when they does hit, I'm like really impressed with it. So yeah, I just really loved this film. Loved the song, the soundtrack. It was one of my favorite songs of last year. The Remember Me, the version done by Miguel. That was the song I recommended. I remember when we talked about it on Ace Society, but yeah, I just, like I said, I think one of the reasons why I loved it so much is because I didn't know what to expect out of it. And then I just love the animation. I love the story and just all the little touches and details to it. It's also one of those movies, too. There's like little small things hidden on it. Like if you look in the beginning of the movie when he's like running down the street in the square, there's like things like Buzz and Woody, I think, or pinatas. Like they have little hidden things in the movie like that. So those are worth looking for.
Where was he was the only one I was listening for. John Ratzenberg. He's in Burger or whatever. He's in every.
Oh, yeah.
They said he was Juan somebody. I don't even want to try this last name, but I didn't hear his voice anywhere unless he tried to have a Spanish accent. So I don't know. Do you know do you know which character he was?
No, but now I'm inspired to go back and figure it out. I'm sure it's in the special features too. Just to guess, I don't know. In that opening, like, crossover bridge station, he's either there, or for some reason I'm thinking the musical competition, like around the middle part of the movie. But also I don't know, maybe you saw it coming and maybe I'm just naive that way, but I also didn't see like the eventuality of like what was going on with the characters and stuff. Like, and it was funny because like looking at the pops and even the promo stuff, like I think I was kind of deceived on who was who and what the real intentions were. So I guess I'm always impressed by that when an animated film can do that.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of fairly new. I won't say what it was, but yeah, I didn't see it.
Nice.
I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't
no,
want
no
to spoil
problem.
It.
No problem. No problem.
Yeah, that's I didn't see that coming. I mean, I don't know what I wanted. I think I just wanted a little bit more. I think after Toy Story, for me, Pixar has gone downhill. It came back up. It came back up with the first Incredibles, but then kind of just. Well, I wouldn't say going downhill. It kind of just peaked, and for me, for my liking, I thought Toy Story was amazing. I've seen every Pixar film that there has been. And no, except for was Frozen Pixar or no?
No, it was just Disney Animation.
Okay, well then I've seen everything.
Yeah, Toy Story, Up, WALL-E, Inside Out, Monsters, Inc., Nemo. Yeah. Ratatouille. Those are like the Pixar movies.
Yeah, I mean, I just
Cars.
I just thought Toy Story was amazing, and I just think they never did anything better than that. Yeah, they gave us two more Toy Stories after that, but they weren't as awesome as the original one. As far as putting a lot of really super detail was WALL-E. Like that, the whole sci-fi deal with the junkyard stuff, man. If you really sit there and look at it, man, there's so much detail and just pieces of nothing that are sitting off on the side. And I was just blown away. But I need to see that again. I only seen it once when I saw it in the theater. But I really enjoyed that animation. When I go to see these films, I'm looking at the animation, and then the story and everything else is kind of just a bonus. But I really love what they do. Ratatouille, I mean, what they did with that one was awesome. It was amazing. Especially what they can do with, like, furry animals and how you can just see each of the hairs and all that moving around. So I always love that. But, yeah, it always goes up to Toy Story. I mean, I just think they could never top what they did with the first go-around. But. They're only going to keep getting better and better. I mean, like I said, with this one, the animation was amazing. Is this the last one they did?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Do you know what's coming next?
No, it's hard to say too. Oh, the next Toy Story next year.
Toy Story 4? They're going back.
Yep. They're going back to it next year, 2019. I don't know where they're going to go, though, because if you know what they did with Toy Story 3, yes, they left it with that girl and whatnot. So I guess they could do that. But is that what they're really going to do? I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. And we'll all go out there and see it. But
oh, yeah. No doubt.
Coco came out 2017, directed by Lee Ulrich and co-directed by Adrian Molina. No idea who they are. Writers Lee Ulrich, Jason Katz, and I think there's like four more other writers. But yeah, check it out. It's streaming on Netflix.
Yep.
Try to get all these Disney movies that are on Netflix in, because as soon as that their Disney streaming service comes
into the year,
everything gets yanked. Star Wars, Marvel, everything except for the Netflix Marvel stuff. Everything is getting yanked and put into on the Disney streaming service.
Yep.
So if you don't want to shell out more money for that, you better get on it and start watching all these Disney movies. And speaking of Disney movies, we're going to do our anchor episode about our top 10 favorite Disney films. Not animation, like the live action films with all I can think of is The Rock. But he's not on any of my list, but I'm just saying when I think of what was that? Not the babysitter, the Tooth Fairy. And
the one where he's like a football player, right?
Yeah, I see the poster, but I can't remember the name of
right.
it. But yeah, I mean, I love The Rock. I love what he's cooking. I can smell what he's cooking.
Run The Rock.
But yeah, I mean, with that, we're just gonna be talking about live action Disney movies. So get ready for that. I have no idea when that's coming, but it's coming for everyone that listens to our anchor feed.
Yep.
But yeah, Coco 2017, streaming on Netflix. Definitely check it out.
Yep. Couldn't recommend it more highly. I love that film. It was right there at the top, right next to Last Jedi for me last year. So, yep. Anyways, ready for the next challenge?
Yep. Go for it.
All right. I had one lined up for you, but I was inspired mid-pod, as long as you'd be willing to watch this next challenge on your phone, because that's the only place, for some reason, this streaming service is available. Is that cool with you?
What is it? What streaming service?
Cinemax.
I don't have it, but I can get it.
Yeah, you got it. You have it.
I don't have it on
you
my
phone. You have it.
I know. I'm just saying I don't have it on my phone.
Yeah.
All right.
So, are you cool with that?
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm going to challenge you to Taken.
Well, I know I like the ending, so hopefully
right. Well,
I like the rest.
Yeah, there's a one scene, and especially listening to this last rewatchables, I'm definitely looking forward to getting your reaction to it. I'll just tell you what it is now so you're on the lookout for when you hear it. The talk on the phone scene. So, you'll know it when you see it.
Is that one they got a meme
for yeah,
everywhere?
Yeah. But it's funny. It's funny just like, especially listening to this last rewatchables, how talking about how iconic that is. And yeah, it did. It obviously became a meme. So,
a retired CIA agent travels across Europe and relies on his old skills to save his estranged daughter, who has been kidnapped while on a trip to Paris.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get too far into it because I do want you to see it. But looking just on the IMDb page, they used the famous quote on the poster I'm seeing.
I'm sure I know what it is. So
yeah, it's on the poster. I was like, whoa. There's
His daughter gets taken in this one. Is it his wife gets taken in the second one?
Yes.
Who gets taken in the third?
Him.
Jeez. Now you're gonna suck me in. I got to see what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
In the other two, have you seen Nonstop or Unknown?
Yes.
Was Nonstop any good? I kind of want to see that.
Yeah, it's worth a watch. I mean, it's not the greatest thing in the world, but it's in that. It's with the Taken. It's with the Gray. It's with these Liam Neeson. He almost became a genre onto his own with these movies. And yeah, I mean, they're entertaining for what they are. That's the thing.
The Gray, I liked that one. I thought that was cool.
Yep, I think that's what I see every time I look out the window.
I think what made me want to see this movie, but I never got around to it, was Maggie Grace.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys know her from Fear the Walking Dead now. I don't like the short hair, but she's hot. Plus, I remember her from Lost.
So, yep.
But all right, 2008's Taken.
Yes.
I'll have to get on that. I'll have to download it and put it on my phone.
Cinemax. All right, what you got?
All right, I'm going back to 1986. This is streaming on HBO. Have you seen The Hitcher?
I have not.
This is stars C. Thomas Howell and Rector Hauer.
All right.
I'll just read you what it's about. A young man who escapes the clutches of a murderous hitchhiker is subsequently stalked by the hitcher and framed for his crime. I can't remember what I said. But yeah, I saw this back when it came out in the theater. This is one of those movies. It was just, let's go to the movies. And we went and seen it. And I love this movie. Yeah, I was just kind of flipping through movies. Well, I wasn't prepared. Like, oh man, what's he gonna watch? There is a remake. It came out 2007. Garbage. It was not. I mean, I love this one. I mean, you know me in the '80s, so but yeah.
Yep.
1986, The Hitcher, and 2008's Taken. Next episode.
Yep.
Hey, everyone, man, thank you so much for listening. And again, if you guys ever have us a challenge, just shoot us a message and let us know what you want us to watch. We got another regular East Society episode coming probably in the next couple days. I've been all messed up. So, but anyway, everyone, hey, thanks everyone for listening. And be sure to listen to everything else that we do.
Yep. Have fun, be safe, see you next time. Up to the challenge.